Welcome to New Creation Christian Center. My name is Harold Franklin, and I'm the pastor of New Creation. We meet on Saturday nights at 7 in Seattle, Washington. We hope the Word of God changes and challenges your life and that you are refreshed and renewed by hearing the Word, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So we thank you for joining us. And now we'll get into this week's message.
What it takes to do that. So many people know the Bible and they've read the Bible, but sometimes there's just these stumbling blocks between doing the Word and hearing the Word. And the Scripture doesn't promise the blessing to the hearer, but the Scripture promises the blessing to the doer. Amen? Because in actuality, the funny thing about it, almost all the world, has heard the Word. Did you know that? Because of television, because of the internet, that's the one great thing about these mediums. People can dial up the gospel 24 hours a day. There's no excuse for anybody. Nobody's going to be able to get to heaven and say, well, I didn't hear the gospel, and that's because they just didn't want to hear the gospel. And in places like America and Europe, who have heard the gospel for thousands of years, in America's case, hundreds, there's no excuse for us, because the gospel is on every corner, is on many channels, on the radio, and like I said, on the internet, you name it, there is a way that you can hear it. But the blessing comes when people become doers of the Word, not just hearers only. Amen? So we want to find out how to be doers of the Word. And that's really what this message is all about. And we started out last week with our text scriptures, and I may just review them again so that we know where we're going. So let's pray, and then let's get into the message. Father, I thank you for your Word. I thank you that your Word is so simple that you've made it easy for us to do what you've told us to do. That doesn't mean it's not a battle in our flesh, but if we do the things that you tell us to do, we can be victorious in every area of our lives. So we thank you for that. And Lord, I pray for our hearts to be reformed and reshaped so that we would want to do what you say to do. And Lord, I bind the things of our past that have taught us to doubt the Word, the things that have said the Word is not true, philosophies of men that have confused the Word and conflicted with the Word. We bind these forces. We command that they be removed, and we cast down every imagination and every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of your Word. And we pray, Lord God, that your Spirit would catapult us into a place where we're doers and not just hearers. That the Word is demonstrated in our lives as we embrace it and do it. Thank you for this time. Give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. So let's go to the text that we talked about last week. The first one is Matthew 7, 24 and Matthew 13, 18 through 23. So Matthew 7:24, which is a pretty familiar passage. Come on. Okay, here we go. And it says here, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So again, here he says, those that hear the word and do it, not just hear the word. Next, we look at Matthew 13, 18 through 23. And it says, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches the word away, what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word and cares, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, and some 30. So let's look at the other passages. So the next one is Mark 11, 20 through 24, and Luke 11, 27 and 28. So let's go to Mark 11, 24 through 27. Now, the reason why a lot of times people say, well, how come you always read the scriptures? Well, because the scriptures is the only thing that can change us. So if you hear the word enough, it begins to break up all the confusion that we have in our minds about the word. That's why I take the time to read the word, because it's the word of God that brings faith. The word that brings life, everything that we get, it's from the word of God. Amen? So I don't apologize. You know, some people have, you know, one scripture, one text, and they read the scripture. And I remember in the old days, they used to say, close the book. Because that was all that you were going to hear from the Bible. But that's not the way I have been called to do it. Anyway. It says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, wait a minute, did I skip something? Do I do something wrong here? No, I'm supposed to start at 20, I'm sorry. That's what I did. Verse 20 through 24, not 24 through 27. So now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. We talked about whether or not we can really actually ask God to remove mountains. And the conclusion is what? If it's God's will, he'll move that mountain. Literally move the mountain. If that's what he wants done. Amen? And we went to the passages about Joshua. We talked about Joshua, how the sun stood still, and how Hezekiah asked that the sundial shadow go backwards instead of forwards. All these things God did just because people asked him to do it. Amen? So he says, if you're going to ask him to do something, what do you have to do? Believe that you're going to receive it and you will have it. I mean, can you imagine Hezekiah didn't hesitate to ask God to turn the, make the sun go back some? I mean, think about it. I mean, we would never even think to ask God that. So God comes to you. What sign do you want? Let's see. Well, let's make the sun go backwards. I mean, most people didn't even think about it. You know, all Gideon wanted was water on one side and no water on the other. But God will do what he wants to do as it's consistent with his will. Amen? All right, let's move on. Next passage is Luke 11, 27. And it happened as he spoke these things that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nursed you." But he said, "More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Amen? So again, here we see God blesses those that not only hear the word, but do the word. Amen? And let's see, we got two more. Hebrews 4, 2. And then James 1, 21 through 25. So Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. It's only a part of that verse that we're looking at. Now again, this is, listen to what this verse says. "For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it." All right, so not only do we have to do the word has to be mixed with faith. What does mixed with faith mean? It means it stirs up a belief that what you've heard is going to come true. Amen? So not only does it just you make you do it, but you first have to believe it in order to do it. Amen? All right. And then finally, James chapter 1, verse 21 through 25. And it says, "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." Amen? Amen. So let's look at, we left off, we talked about two situations where the people did not apply the word, and therefore they suffered consequences because they didn't do the word. And those first, of course, were Adam and Eve, who heard the word, and they knew the word, but they didn't do the word. Amen? And then there was, who was after that? Cain. Cain, God told him, the enemy is after you. Sin is after you. Sin is crouching at the door, trying to take your control over you, but you have to take control over it. And he didn't do it, and we know the result is that he killed Abel. So now we want to look at three situations where they applied the word of God in their lives. So let's look at Genesis, let's look at Abraham, and we're going to look at Joshua, and then we're going to look at Enoch. So look, Abraham, so let's go to Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And it says, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So here we have the promise, the word spoken to Abraham, and the condition for him to do. What's the doing part here for Abraham? Huh? Yeah, he had to get up and leave. Now, it's interesting that God said that he would bless Abraham, but it was conditioned on him believing what he just heard and then doing what he was told to do. So without those two things being met, guess what? Abraham would not have been blessed. Abraham would not have been who Abraham became if he had not done two simple things. And notice they're not very difficult. Well, they're not difficult physically. Sometimes it is hard to leave family and friends, right? And matter of fact, a lot of people stumble in their relationship with God because of family and friends. You might say, well, does God doesn't want me to have friends? Of course God wants you to have friends. The Bible says that he that desires to have friends must be what? Friendly. So of course he wants to have friends, but what he does not want are people that are going to influence you for the wrong reasons. And because family members tend to have this negative attitude about your relationship with God, especially family members that don't want to get saved themselves, they tend to become a weight and a persecution on your newly found relationship. Amen? And the same with friends. If your friends don't come in with you, the kingdom with you, what do most of the time? They ridicule you. Say, oh man, how long are you going to stay in this church stuff? How long are you going to be reading that Bible for? You know that stuff is old and it's no good. You know, we had a lot of fun before you started doing all that kind of stuff. When are you going to stop doing all that stuff? And they just constantly wear you down. If you're not careful. Now, I don't want to say fortunate, because fortunate means lucky. I was blessed by God that my best friend, which was Rick Dupree, I shared the gospel with him, and he accepted Christ pretty much right away. So I didn't have to go through a lot of the separation from him, at least, because Annas had led me to the Lord, and I had accepted Christ, and now I was trying to share the gospel with my family, my brothers, my sisters, my best friend, and I'll never forget what Rick told me. He said, man, I don't understand this whole thing, but if it's good enough for you, it's good enough for me. And to me, that was like an honor to our relationship, because we had known each other at that time. We had known each other since we were 7, and I think I accepted Christ when I was about 18 or 19. So we had known each other for about 12 years, been really close. Everything we went to high school together. We played Little League football together. He actually came and stayed at our house when he was having problems with his mom and dad and all that kind of stuff. We went to college together and ended up getting married around the same time, having our kids, and picked the same name for our sons without knowing it. I mean, Marquise would have been named Marcus had Marcus not been born before Marquise. So we had to change. We had to change Marquise's name, and Annas wanted the Q in it, so we kept it as Marquise. That's how we came up with Marquise. We kind of struggled with Marquise. My mom had a marquee car, so I was like, I don't want to name my son after a car. But she said, I want the Q in the name. It's cool to have a Q in his name. So I said, all right. So that's how we came with that name. That's a spiritual thing, wasn't it? But anyway, the point is, I didn't have to deal with a lot of the separation with from Rick, but from my other friends, other people that I knew, they noticed a change in my life and noticed, and of course, I wasn't really a big party guy anyway, but now it was even more less that I was going to do the things that they did. So here, Abraham had to separate himself from the closest people that he was to. And now, he did take Lot with him. So he didn't leave everybody, but he had a pretty big family. If you go back to the 11th chapter, it tells you some of the family members that Abraham had. His father was Terah. Terah had Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran begot Lot. Haran died. That's how Abraham and Lot became close, because Abram basically took over kind of the father role for Lot. And then Terah died, his father. And so their family was there, but they basically, the heads of the family had died. So God told them to move on, because their group was involved in idolatry and a lot of things that obviously God did not want Abram to be mixed in with. So he separated us, him. And that's why God separates us from our families and friends initially. Everybody say initially. It's not a permanent thing, but as a lot of times it's to get you solidified so that when you do go back, you're not so easily persuaded to go out, fall out of the kingdom. Because a lot of times people, you know, they're on fire for the Lord. I never forget, and I don't want to say names, but people that I knew that, and one of the reasons why I didn't really want to get saved, so to speak, is I saw a lot of guys that I grew up with get saved, and they were out on the street, I mean, hard and heavy with the tracks and sharing the gospel. And then 3 months later or 6 months later, I'd see them, they were getting high again. And I said, well, wait a minute, what happened? I mean, here he was, he was on the corner downtown. I mean, when you're downtown, you're serious about this thing. I mean, there's no, you didn't even start in the neighborhood, you know, at a corner. But no, you're downtown, and back in those days, it was in front of the Bon Marché, you know, which is now the Macy's. And he's in the heart of it, where the Westlake Mall is now. And it was just like it is now. It was the same when I was a kid. Only now you can actually stand there, because now they took off the traffic, so the traffic doesn't flow through there. So he's down there sharing the gospel, and he said, praise the Lord, Harold, I'm saved, and I'm, you know. And then 6 months later, I see, man, he's back doing what he used to do, and I'm saying, man, I'm not too sure about this salvation stuff that don't stick. That's because maybe he didn't get strong enough, rooted enough in the truth, so that he could be carried during those hard times. The reality is that when you accept Christ, you are going to be tempted. You are going to be tested. Your friends are going to wear you down if they can. The enemy is going to use them to wear you down, because his goal is to get you to reverse your course so that you can come back and be in his fold as opposed to the kingdom of God. So God told Abram to get up, get out of there, away from your family, so that he can bless him. And just imagine, Abraham would have missed the greatest blessing of all time had he just said, man, Lord, I like it here with my family members and friends. I don't want to go. And how many people say stuff like that? Now, you know, I'll get saved, but I'm not going to be doing all that, some of that stuff. I want to go to heaven, but, you know, I'm going to be reading my Bible all the time or praying, or going to them prayer meetings all night. I'm not going to be doing that. But the very thing we choose not to do could be the thing that God wants us to do the most. And notice how, and then let's move on from there to verse, Genesis verse 15 through 4 through 6. So here we have the promise of blessing. And so you go to Genesis 15, chapter 4 through 6, and we see God gives him another promise. He says, behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, and this is talking about Eliezer, who was a servant born in Abraham's house that would have inherited everything Abraham had. That was the rules of inheritance according to the law in those days. He says, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars, if you're able to number them. And he said, so shall your descendants be. Let's see here. What else? What was the other verse? So, yeah, that was it. So here we have, and he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. So here we have another promise. God promises to give Abraham a child, and in this case, it was a son, to become the heir of the promise that God had given him. And that promise was the 12, 1 through 3 promise that he was going to bless him and bless his, and he would be a blessing. So we see that promise, and then you go down a little further and go to 17, 15, chapter 17, verse 15 through 22. And it says, then God said to Abraham, let me just make sure I'm on the right one here. Yeah, 17, 15, 20. God said to Abraham, as for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her. Then Abraham fell on his face. Now notice, this is testing Abraham. Because look what he says here. He says, and he laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? So he's doing what we always do. God tells him that the old woman is going to have a baby. See, that old lady next to you is going to have a baby. First he laughs because he said, well, how are these two old folks going to have a baby? And then look, notice what he says after this. In verse 18, and Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Now, why is he calling on Ishmael? Because Ishmael's born. Ishmael's already here. He said, Lord, we already got Ishmael. Let him be the one. And God says, what does God say? Then God says, no. Sarah, your wife shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year. So notice how he says, I'll bless Ishmael. And Ishmael, of course, is the Arabs, the Arabic peoples. And the Quran says that the promise was given to Ishmael. But the scripture here clearly says, and of course the Bible's written way before the Quran, so they can't change the language, that Ishmael would not be the promised one, but Isaac was the promised one. So God says, I'll bless Ishmael, but Isaac is the one I'm going to use to carry out the promise that I've given you. So Abraham had another decision to make here. He could say, well, I don't see how God's going to do it, so I'm just going to act like I didn't hear him. and we're going to work with Ishmael. Is that all right, God? And God already answered that question, so he might as well not answer that, ask him that. But no, instead of doing that, he said, all right, God, if this is what your plan is, but notice how he has to believe beyond his own natural ability. What do I mean by that? Well, of course, 90-year-old people, 100-year-old people usually do not have children. And the funny thing about this, God gives Sarah a child, and not only does Abraham have Isaac, but Abraham ends up having like 3 or 4 more sons. Abraham lives to be 175 years old and has children even after this. So God basically restored his youth, but he still kept the promise that no matter all the kids that came after Isaac, they were not the promise. And matter of fact, Abraham sent them away so there would be no confusion. He sent them all away and made sure that Isaac was the only one that inherited what God had promised that he would inherit. So he had to not only believe what God did, but he had to act on it and then live it, because it required him to do something to make sure that the promise went to Isaac and not to the others. Amen? So here we go here. So verse 21 through 7 is the last part of this. 21, 1 through 7. And it says, and the Lord visited Sarah, and he had, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him Isaac. Where am I? I lost my spot here. Oh, excuse me, yeah. And then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear him here will laugh with me. She also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children, for I have borne him a son in his old age. Now notice she keeps putting it off on Abraham as if she's not old. I mean, she's 10 years younger than Abraham is. So she is how old now? 90 years old. So here we have, she's just saying, Abraham is old, but she's up there as well. So God reversed the cycle of life to bring Isaac into being. And it was all because of the promise that Abraham heard. He believed it, then he acted on it, and then he worked it out in his life. And everything he did in his life was centered around keeping that promise and making sure that that promise is fulfilled as far as he could control. He did what he was supposed to do, but God had to do the miraculous on the other side. Amen? This is how you apply the word of God in your lives. So if let's go back. First, he got the word, and he had to have, as Hebrew said, he heard the word preached, and he mixed his word, that word, with faith by believing it, right? And then once he believed it, he what? Did it. So just like James said, don't be a hearer, but do be a doer also. Not just hearing, but doing. And then he carried out all these other things. God says, no, you have. I'm going to give you Isaac. And he questioned that promise. He says, Lord, why don't you just use Ishmael? He's right here. You know, He's available, but it's like God went and picked David out of all his brothers. God knows who's going to carry out the promise. Amen. Ishmael was considered somebody that was always fighting against his brothers. The Bible talks about there's a prophecy of Ishmael when Hagar had to leave. He says he's going to make him a king and his hand is going to be against his brothers and all that kind of stuff. So Ishmael probably did not have the temperament to carry the promise that God had given, just like Jacob and Esau. The Bible says, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And you might say, man, that's strong language. I mean, here they're twins. This is at the early. They hadn't even done anything according to the scripture. But he says he's hate. Well, why? Because he knows what Esau's going to do. And what was wrong with Esau? What were some of the flaws of Esau? He was impatient. He was a man of the flesh. He traded, he traded his birthright or his inheritance rights for a bowl of soup. I mean, he couldn't have been that hungry. He knew how to cook himself. The Bible says he went out and made Isaac, after he killed the whatever he killed, he went and cooked it and made it. So he knew how to cook. And you mean to tell me he couldn't wait an hour for his dinner to be made? He'd rather eat the soup and give Jacob the blessing? So he was a man of the flesh, a carnal person that didn't value the things that should have been valued. And that's why he did not find favor with God. But God still blessed Esau. He still blessed him, but he did not give him the promise. So let's look at the next one. Let's look at Joshua. Of course, everybody knows who Joshua is. For those that may be watching or listening, Joshua was the person who followed Moses. And what a person to have to follow. Here's a guy who opened the Red Sea. And, you know, people always talk about it's hard to follow a legend. I think it started from Moses. Moses was the man of God. God spoke to face to face. You didn't mess with Moses. I mean, he was the guy. But here we have, Moses dies and doesn't complete the total plan that God had for the children of Israel. So verse 1, chapter 1 in Joshua says this. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them. The children of Israel, every place that the sole of your feet will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, for the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and the great sea toward the down of the sun. And for those that don't follow that, that means east, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. If you count the times that God tells Joshua not to be afraid, there's at least five times he tells him, don't be afraid. And then and be encouraged, which is the same thing. Because he knew that Joshua was actually, and get this is heavy, actually was called to do something that Moses was not able to do. And all of Moses' power given to him by God, he was not able to accomplish what Joshua was about to accomplish. So Joshua couldn't rely on what Moses did. Although they did conquer the two kings on the west side of the Jordan, they hadn't crossed into the promised land. They were just kind of add-ons that Moses was able to do. So God tells Joshua to get ready, be of courage. Nobody's going to be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And of course, Joshua has a decision to make here. He can do what? Believe it? Or he can say, Lord, this is a big job. It's all these nations, if they come against us all at one time, there's no way we could beat them. But God said, there's nobody is going to be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. So he had to make a choice. He had to decide if he was going to do the word or if he was going to just what? Hear it. He could have been, you know, if he was at like when I first came, you know, folks are always giving you prophecies. And folks always, you get a prophecy and folks start dancing and shouting, ah! And none of it comes to pass. You might say, well, that guy was a false prophet. No. What did you do with the word that you were given? I remember one word that was given to me, and I was in law school, and most folk didn't know I was in law school, but anyway, they would always prophesy. I probably got three or four prophecies that God was going to bless me financially. And of course, I always thought that meant tomorrow because we needed it tomorrow. But it took time for it to come to pass. Matter of fact, this was back in the late 80s. So it wasn't until like the mid-90s that some of it started to come to pass. And because I held on to the promise that God had given me, I expected it to come to pass, and therefore I prepared for it to come to pass. Are you with me here? So this is what happens with prophecies that fall on your, you hear in your ears, but you don't do anything to prepare for them to come to pass. You know, people prophesied, and some people say, well, you're about to get married. Well, what do you do when you're about to get married? Well, you should prepare. As a man, you should prepare to get married. What does that mean? Well, get you a place to live. That's a first step. Don't be living at home. It's like, where are you and your wife going to live? Well, we ain't got no place to live. I got a car, though. We can hang out in the Chevy. Well, no, that's not a good plan. So you have to plan to see the word of God fulfilled in your life, not based only on your plan. You go to God and say, okay, Lord, I have this word. I hear this word. What am I supposed to do with this word? And God will begin to unfold things on what you need to do. And that's what happens here. God tells Joshua what he's going to do and that there's nobody ever going to be able to defeat him. Now, we know that Joshua lost one battle, right? And that was the Ai battle when they had sin in the camp because the people did not do what God told them not to. The people didn't do what God told them not. Well, no, let me put it. The people did what God told them not to do. So his protection withdrew from them until they dealt with that issue. But after that, he was undefeated. So Joshua was like 25-1. he was bowling over people. I mean, he was, you read some of the battles, the way they fought back in there, and there was no cannons from miles away. These people had swords and shields, and they were hand-to-hand combat. And hand-to-hand combat, they're not losing not one person. I mean, that's amazing. Nobody's getting killed in battles where you're hand-to-hand fighting. In some cases, like in Jericho, they didn't have to fight. Well, they did, because they did go in the city and they said they slew all the people. But the walls fell, and probably the people, once the walls fell, that was it. They probably dropped the sword and started running. But there, I mean, can you imagine the battles they went through and they didn't lose a person? I mean, that's a miracle. So God was with Joshua. And Joshua, so let's look at the last part of Joshua. Let's go to chapter 6, verse 20 through, what did I say, 20 through 25? Yeah. So chapter 6, and this is, of course, the story of Jericho and how Jericho happens. And this is what he says. So the people shouted with the priests, when the priests blew the trumpet, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep, donkey with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said to the two men who had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and from there bring out the woman and all that she has as you swore to her. And the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. So they brought out all her relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel, but they burned the city and all that was in it with fire. Only the silver and the gold and the vessels of bronze and iron they put in the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua spared, Rahab the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. So she dwells in Israel to this day because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. So here we see the beginning of the battles, the first battle. And this is, God does something great in this battle because he wants to scare everybody else in the land, to let them know that these people don't fight just because they're great fighters. God is with them in these fights. I mean, can you imagine hearing that? How did they win that battle? What was the strategy? Well, all I know is I heard some trumpets and some people shout and the walls fell down. What? They didn't have to jump over the walls because, the Jericho's walls were notoriously impenetrable. Nobody could get along. And so it would take a miracle to do it. And God did it. So he just pushed them down so that they can go into the city. But he had to act on the things that God had told them to do. Otherwise, they would have been standing outside the walls wondering how they were going to do what God said they were supposed to do. And that's what happens when you begin to apply the word. You do things that don't even make sense. I mean, can you imagine a general telling you to blow the trumpet and yell? Now, of course, you watch all these Discovery Channel movies. They say, well, the people yelled so loud that it was like an earthquake. And so the wall fell down because of they be coming up with some doozies. That's like going down to, Quest Field? No, it's not Quest Field. Century Link Field, and saying the stadium will fall down if we all just blow. Well, they're making a lot of noise. That stadium hasn't fallen down yet. Now, there was a few more people. I think there was 1 million soldiers in the army of Israel at that time. But, I mean, people yelling don't bring buildings down. So these things happen because God intervenes in these things. But he doesn't intervene until you have been fully persuaded in your mind that this is going to happen the way God has promised you it's going to happen. And that's the key to applying the word. And the last thing, and then we'll probably have to shut it down. And then next week, Pastor Dean will be here. So he will bring a message, and he probably will talk about his trip to Africa, I'm sure. Let's go to Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. This is a real short one. This is about Enoch. And not a lot is known about Enoch. Go to, what did I say, 521? So it says, Enoch lived 65 years. Well, let's go back to where Enoch came from. It's verse 18. It says, Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. And after he begot Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Now, I'm still amazed about how old these people live, how long these people lived. I mean, this guy's 900 years old. Anyway, Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. Did you know he was Methuselah's father? And everybody, you old as Methuselah. Methuselah was the oldest person in the Bible by about 3 or 4 years. And after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And he goes on to talk about, that's all that it says about Enoch. But then if you go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 and 7, so let's go there. That's a big jump. Let's go back there. Chapter 11, verse 5 and 7. It picks up about Enoch. It says, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. And this is where we see him, for before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And then we get this passage, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. So what is he saying about Enoch? If he said he pleased God, Enoch had what? Faith in God because he pleased God. So Enoch is where we get the idea that it's impossible to please God without faith. It says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who hear the word only. No, that doesn't say that. It says who diligently seek him. So Enoch walked with God. That means he believed that. Not only did he believe in God, he had a relationship with God. And I actually have read the book of Enoch. There's nothing in it, so don't bother. And nobody's not even sure if it's written by Enoch. But these are actually the references to that book. This, and then Jude makes a reference to where Enoch says the Lord will be coming with 10,000s of his saints. You remember that in the book of Jude? Those, and I've read that part of Enoch. You can actually read it on the internet. So you can, if you want to read it, you can find it. That's a great thing about the internet. But anyway, also the bad thing about the internet. But the key here is that he pleased God, and he walked with God. And he also says that, and the Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please him. So notice how faith and walking with God go hand in hand. Amen? So you can't just have faith and not do. You have to do what you believe. Everybody say, we have to do what we believe. We have to do what we believe. We have to act on what we believed. And this is what we see in the life of every one of the people that we just looked at. Abraham took a promise, received a promise, and acted on it. Joshua heard a word, a promise, and he moved out and did what God told him to do. Go possess the land. He could have been like the other 10 spies that he would have, because he had the experience, and we all know that Joshua was one of the ones that believed the promise, even when the 10 didn't believe it. So he had already the ability to believe what was impossible, because they all said it was impossible. Say, man, we can't take this land. He says, we can't beat those guys. Are you kidding me? We don't even know how to fight. We don't even have any weapons. But Joshua and Caleb said, no, we can do it. It doesn't matter if we have any weapons. Look, notice the first battle, they didn't need no weapon. They could have beat them with a couple of sticks and some rocks. Matter of fact, most of the time, that's what they fought with anyway. Slings, what do you think slings were? Rocks. They're throwing rocks at each other. And if they were fortunate, they had some arrows and some swords. But, you know, so, and then Enoch here walked with God, pleased God, and was taken by God to be with God. Amen. So next time we'll close out and we'll look at the last things that we need to do in order to make the promises our own and to live the promises and apply those promises to our lives. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Let's go home.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that it would impact you, that you would continue to grow in your life with Christ. Once again, if you would like any more podcasts of our messages at New Creation Christian Center, you can go to www.newcreationwa.org and feel free to download it, share it with your friends and family so people can see how God is changing our lives as we continue to be formed into the new creation that He has called us to be.